A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. The Gospel of the Lord.
What is Ash Wednesday all about? Some of us will have the sign of a cross in ash laid on our foreheads, or some of us will have the ash sprinkled on top of our heads. And all of us will hear the admonition to repent. And this will be the start of a 40-day period of some sort of renunciation. Probably nothing very heroic. Most of us probably will do something like give up chocolate or give up the glass of wine we usually have at our evening meal, or maybe give up Facebook. And the chances are that we'll tell people, oh, no, thank you, not for me, no wine for me. Whatever it is we've chosen, I've given it up for Lent. And right there, saying that, we undo at least some of the good that our sacrifice for Lent is supposed to do us. Because Jesus insists again and again in this passage on what we'd call nowadays keeping a low profile, not trumpeting about our generous charity, not making a show of our prayer, not looking dismal, and isn't that a lovely word to choose, not looking dismal when we're fasting. Maybe we could be more imaginative about what we give up. A real sacrifice for me, for instance, would be not avoiding people who drive me up the wall, but trying to be as patient and as cordial to them as I am to the people I really love. That would be a Lenten sacrifice. And then there's that word repent. You repent of what you did, so that word looks back rather than forward, which I feel is a pity, because Lent should be pointing us towards Easter, towards the resurrection. I like the fact that in Italian, I live in Italy, the priest says, "Converti," be converted. And that looks to the future, because that's an invitation to change radically. That's helpful. And then ash. Ash is what's left after something has been completely consumed by fire. And we think of it as barren. We think of it as just grey dust. And yet, life is not obliterated by ash. In John Harris's long, wonderful essay on Hiroshima, which was first published in 1946, he wrote, about what a young Japanese woman saw on the 9th of September 1945, just over a month after the bomb had destroyed the city on August the 6th. Here's what this young woman saw. Over everything, up through the wreckage of the city and gutters, along the river banks, tangled among tiles and tin roofing, climbing on charred tree trunks, was a blanket of fresh, vivid, lush, optimistic green. The verdancy rose even from the foundations of ruined houses. Wheat already hid the ashes, and wild flowers were in bloom among the city's thorns. Bomb had not only left the underground organs of plants intact, it had stimulated them. Now, this is what today's ash should do for us. It should stimulate the growth of simple, unsophisticated flowers like selflessness, generosity, shared joy, shared hope, shared love, the glowing evidence of living faith. We won't all achieve the heroism of the martyrs, but all of us can flower, all of us can blossom, and those flowers would be the loveliest decoration of the altars at the Easter Vigil.